In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You've all heard the old saying, ready, aim, fire. But you know, there are some believers and some clergy and some churches who go by a different cadence. That is, ready, aim, ready, aim, 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 aim. But then there are other believers, clergy, a lot of whom I know, and churches whose cadence is simply this: fire, 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 aim, fire. Both actually miss the mark. The first group are really powerless to do anything. They spend all their time in meetings and committees and await scheduling of the next meeting or the next committee. They're hesitant to really do much of anything. In my entire ministry, there was only one very short period where I was on a national church committee. And it was during that time that literally we met to figure out when our next meeting was going to be. And I said, I am done with this. Besides, they had meetings up north in the winter. It was horrible. The second group also missed the mark. They have little or no time for planning or course correction or reflection. They're always so busy doing something that they don't take the time or make the time to do appropriate planning. In our collect this morning, there was a little phrase that we prayed that we all would do well to go back and read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest. Grant that by your inspiration we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding may do them. Notice the collect doesn't start out, do something, look busy for God. But on the contrary, wait for his inspiration. Do some thinking. Wait for guidance. And then act. For those of you who like three-point sermons, you're not going to like this because there are four. Inspire, think, guide, do. I know what the word inspire means. I use it a lot. But I actually went to the dictionary and looked it up, and I found the exact definition I was looking for. It means to breathe into. We know expire is to breathe out. Inspire is to have that breath breathed into you. That basically means it's not something you can do yourself. You have to wait for God to inspire you. A little history lesson. Before our reading from 1 Samuel, the people of Israel had moved in the wilderness for 40 years. They get to the promised land. They are there for 500 years. There's no temple. They have the Ark of the Covenant that's out, you know, in a tent. And whenever they're trying to figure out what to do, if they don't see the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire, they do nothing. The priest would go out and sit by the Ark of the Covenant. It was covered over with skins and cloths because to look upon it was just an incredible sight of radiance. And after all, when they looked at Moses, his face shone because of the reflected glory of God. So they covered it up with skins and cloths. But they would go out and they would look at it. And after they get to the promised land, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire never show up again. They wait. They resettle the nation of Israel. And they don't run ahead and do things on their own. They were led by judges, exactly the same people that Moses had left, the 70 who had the Spirit of the Lord fall upon them, plus Eldad and Medad and their descendants. For 500 years, that had worked very well for them. But there was a problem. The Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines for 7 months. And they had had it, and they, you know, people would touch it and they would die. They would get all sorts of plagues and boils, and the Bible actually even says that a plague came upon those who saw it and they were inflicted with hemorrhoids. I mean, you know, it doesn't get any more real than that, you know? This was horrible. So the Philistines say, we are done with this thing. They take it back to Gilgal, and the people of Israel again. Are we going to trust this? Are we going to trust God to be our sovereign king? He said in Exodus 6, verse 7, that he was going to be their king, and he promised he would be with him. He would be victorious in battle. But, you know, the Ark of the Covenant was kind of on vacation for 7 months. And, you know, maybe God's not working exactly the way we want him to work. And, you know, Samuel, he is getting old. He's getting very old. We certainly don't want his two sons, Joel and Abijah, to take his place. You know, they are horrible prophets. They turned profit into a business. And they made profit from their prophecy. Eli is old. His two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they don't want them either. You know, well, what can we do? You know, we're a nation that is in this immense leadership vacuum, and what are we going to do? And they looked around at the other nations and they say, well, the going thing these days is kings. I think I want a king, God. We don't want to come out and stare at the Ark of the Covenant. We don't want to wait on the divine presence. We don't want to wait to be inspired. Just give us a king. And Samuel goes, do you know what you're asking for? You're going to be taxed. Your sons are going to be taken, drafted into the military. Your daughters are going to be inscripted by the king as slaves. You yourselves are going to be slaves. Did I tell you you're going to be taxed? You're going to have to give up 10% of all of your wine, your good land, your crops, all of those go to the king. You really want a king? Oh yeah, yeah, that sounds good. That's what everybody else is doing. For 500 years they had waited on the Lord and it had served them well. But now they want a king. Well, they're going to get a king. It's not going to be a good king for very long. And then they're going to get David, and he's going to be king for a while. And then they're going to get Solomon, and he's going to be a king. And then there's just going to be a succession of kings of Judah and Israel, and one kind of outdoes each other in being bad. Because do we really want God to be our king? No, we want an earthly king who's going to lead us into battle. The Israelites were at a point in their life where they didn't want to hear about what God had to say. They wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to kind of create their own religion, their own spirituality. And as such, there's this very obscure little sentence over in 1 Chronicles chapter 3:13 that says, during the time of Saul, they forsook going out to the tent of meeting. They forsook going before the Ark of the Covenant and waiting for God. Because they had all sorts of great plans they were going to do. We're going to get kings. He's going to lead us into battle. We're going to finally win against the Philistines. None of that happened. When we respond, fire, 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 let's do something, let's impress God, let's look busy, we're basically saying, like the Israelites, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else. We want a victor in battle. And there sits the Ark of the Covenant, the divine presence of God that says, have you been inspired? Have you been moved by the Holy Spirit? Has this idea come from God? Have you taken the time to pray through it, to use the best mind that God has given you to discern exactly how to approach things? Have you prayed some more? Have you really waited for guidance? Then do it. See, too oftentimes we take the first three steps to inspire, to think, and to be guided by God's Holy Spirit. You say, oh, well, yeah, we know we should do that, but let's rush ahead. We have a little parable right outside our door. You may have noticed, especially for those of you who find walking difficult or getting in from the parking lot, you feel like you need to stop and get refreshments along the way. Okay? You remember we used to park right out here? But no, someone said, gee, let's move ahead and tear the dirt out and, let's get the road going. And we sit and look at what's going to be the swale, what's going to be the driveway, but did it really have to be done right then? It's a very simple thing, but now we look at mud when we could have been driving right up to the front door. If you think about that, it happens in our lives more than you would imagine, where we come up with wild and crazy ideas that we trust and hope and pray that God will bless. I would simply ask, beg, learn from Scripture. Take more time. Wait to be inspired. Think through the plans and decisions that you are faced with day by day. Ask yourself, am I truly being guided by the Holy Spirit? And then, and only then, move ahead. And you can come back to the age-old wisdom. Ready, aim, fire. Instead of what we so often do. Amen.